I always want you to stand, but they don't want to stand when you're preaching. Matthew chapter 26, if you will, and around about verse 30. The title of this one tonight is "This Ain't My Cup." This is not my cup. I even brought a prop. I'm not much of a prop preacher, but I brought a prop. This cup comes from my house, and I drink out of it a lot. A whole lot. But it's got a monogram on it. Can y'all say what the monogram says? Guess whose cup this is supposed to be? It's an M. Guess who this is supposed to be? Mine. No. It's Melissa's. But I drink out of it a lot. And I just want you to, I want you to get that, the whole picture of that cup being here, that it's really not my cup, but I'm drinking out of it a lot. Amen? And that'll make sense. We're gonna try to get as much in this as we can from this. I like context. I love the context of where we're at. And we'll just get into the Word, Matthew 26, verse 30. And we're going to chase down some verses here in a little bit when we get into the meat of this message, but maybe two or three. And they'll come out of Psalms 75, Psalm 73, and we'll chase them a couple there. And I don't like to chase a lot of verses when we're preaching, but at the same time, I'd like to give more context and depth to the message. Matthew 26, 30. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." There's a lot of doctrinal issues there with some churches and some places that worship. That's why they don't have stringed instruments in their church. It's because they sang a hymn and went out into the Mount of Olives. I think it was more of just expedience. I don't think it was a fact that they didn't ever want instruments to be played in the church. I think it was just expedience. It's like, we don't have any instruments, so sing a song. And they did, and they went out to the Mount of Olives. But the case here, and I'm not arguing about doctrine, really don't, that's nonsense to me. But I want to say they go out to the Mount of Olives, so where they have the olive presses, the olive trees. Me and Melissa went to an antiquity museum a couple years back, and we got to learn a lot of Jewish culture. And what was really neat was to see the olive press. The olive press, it literally looks like a man laid down with his arms stretched out like this. That's exactly what it looks like. There's these two big, long, like, trees, more or less, what you'd say, but logs that have been cut, and they have notches on them all the way down the tree. And what they do is they hang weights off of every notch. And when they put the olives in there, the olives start, and from degrees that it goes out. And every part of that press and every part of that olive is used all the way at the end. And the most pure parts are used for like medicinal purposes and other things like that, and even in food. And then you get all the way down at the end, and it's like for machinery. It's for, you know, just different, you know, everyday uses and things like that. But what's so neat, it's almost down to the hour of how long Christ is on the cross to use every bit of what He did at Calvary for every person. He was poured out. He was crushed. So, but what I also love about this at the Mount of Olives is when He goes down there, He's literally in the press. He's being pressed out that night. And if you really think about this, there's no other reason for Jesus to be in the Mount of Olives that night other than for God to really show Him what He's going to do at Calvary. Okay? To show Him what He's about to step into. And this is amazing because it's really not necessary, but it shows us something about Jesus that God gives Him every opportunity to not to do it. But also every opportunity to do it. Amen? Sometimes we wouldn't want a long time to think about exactly what's going to happen. But God takes Him out there and shows Him. And this is a very pressing time. He is just like the olive, and He is just like that oil that's going to be pressed out. Everything that comes out of Jesus at that cross is going to be necessary for us. Ain't that neat? I love how the Bible just kind of pours out things when you really get into it. Let's look at verse 31. Then Jesus said unto them all, all of you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. I love this. I love how he tells it like this, but this is very appropriate. I like to teach this right here. As he tells his disciples, every one of them, you're all gonna run. You're all gonna hide. Isn't that pretty neat of Jesus to do that? Because we have an opportunity to fail sometimes, but if we really know that God knows our weaknesses and our strengths, it speaks to me that God was letting them know you're not there yet. Amen. None of them had received the Holy Spirit of God, which they do on the day of Pentecost. They're all desiring to go after Jesus, but sometimes right here it's just a place where they just can't. It just can't. He's going to know that he's going to the cross by himself. Okay? Listen, if any of the apostles had went with him, if anybody would have said, yeah, I'm going, then it would be Jesus and Peter, or Jesus and John, or Jesus and somebody else who had went to the cross and died for our sins. But Jesus said, no, this is not the time for you to lay down your life. This is my time to lay down my life, and you will all scatter, and the sheep will run away. Really neat, right? And this is why we know that Mary is not our salvation either, because she didn't die on the cross. She wouldn't say, even for her own son, she'd go, well, don't put me up there. She could not go there either. I love that. I love how plain the Bible is. It's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone on that cross and the one who died for your sins. So there's no really other way to look at it. There's no other door to look into to get into heaven. There's a lot of, I run into a lot of people. I was talking to somebody right before church. People want to wrestle with you and argue with you and debate with you. That's okay, but that's really not the purpose of why we came. The purpose that we are here for is to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to share that gospel and then let it do its work. I'll be honest with you. I was telling a friend of mine just before church, I was saying, you know, I have things laid out in my mind of how I want my kids to operate and then certain other people, and I think if they did this or they did that. But I'll be honest with you. Can I just be honest with you that the gospel reached me when I was a mess? I did not do everything right. I didn't have my life in order. I didn't have any grand plan of serving God. Matter of fact, I was rather trying to avoid Him. And He still seemed fit to burden my heart and your heart. And guess what? I guarantee you there's a lot of people in this room. Nothing really fit together as a perfect plan except somebody just shared the truth with you and you couldn't wrestle with it anymore. So when somebody just whips out, let's go to war on this dot, I'm like, man, can I tell you about Jesus? And if I can't tell you about Jesus, then somebody probably have already told them, and that's why you're having such a hard time. Amen. Because when I wanted to argue about Jesus, you know why? Because I had inner turmoil going on with me, and that's what I wanted to argue about. I was really arguing with myself. I just needed another person there to make it seem legitimate. Never mind. That was me, not you. Amen? Listen to this. I love this. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Man, I love that. I love Peter's heart right there. I believe he meant it. I believe he was sincere. I believe he was. I believe he was like, I'm going. I can't see. There's no way I can see an opportunity where I would slip up right here. There's no way. I wouldn't let nobody get you, amen, and not take me. I believe he was sincere in his heart. I believe that he, and we know by the scriptures that he took a sword with him and he did cut an ear off of a soldier. He was intent on going with Jesus, but he couldn't because he had to die alone. And he was working some, the Bible says it this way. It says, the devil has desired to sift you. Amen. There's some women in here. Have you ever cooked before? One of my favorite things when I was a kid is to watch my mom make biscuits. And man, they would sift that flour out of there, and man, I would love, just to watch it. I don't know how or why or what you did for it. I just love I was like, because I knew, man, when I was a kid, I don't know how this happened, but I loved the biscuit so much, my mom always made an extra big one at the end. That, you know what I mean? It was an extra big one. And I don't know how, I guess I was just a baby, but I'd always say, I want the big one. And they'd always give it to me, and I wondered why my brother hated me so much, but she gave it to me. I'd take a whooping over a big biscuit. I didn't care. But I loved watching, and I'd say, "What, Mom, what are you doing?" She goes, "We got to sift the flour." And she said, "If there's anything impure, it'll stay in the sifter. And the product that comes out is a lighter, better product. But the process is tough. Because we don't like to be sifted. We don't like to have stuff being taken out of us." See, he was going to take all the denial out of Peter's life, and the only way to do that is to go to a place where you would have to deny. God don't mind to take you to the places where you think you won't fail, but you do. Some of the greatest places in Christianity is not my successes, they're my failures. I'm being honest with you. There's two or three moments in my walk with Christ, even in my calling, where I look back and what really, really drives me. I love to see people healed. I love to see people really do well. But some of the things that happen to me the most are some of the biggest failures I've had. When I've let somebody down that I shouldn't have let down. Amen? Sometimes I don't like pressing past that place right there. But we ran a boys' home for 3 years. And we had a little boy who come into our care who was literally a little bit too young to be in our home. I didn't handle that situation right. Amen. I didn't do anything illegal. I didn't do anything bad. I didn't do anything wrong. But I didn't have the temperament for that. And I failed him. And man, you know what? It made me a better house parent, but it made me a better man. Because then my son turned 6 or 7. And some of the stuff I was asking a 6 or 7-year-old to do that I was asking 9th graders and 10th graders and 11th graders to do. And he couldn't do it. And I was hard. Whew. And I remember standing there, and now listen, I'm telling you about a 6 or 7-year-old boy who come into a house full of teenagers. Amen? And I remember one time when God revealed it to me, I was down there and I said, "Son, go get this." And he was 6 or 7. He said, "Daddy, I can't do that." And it hit me, and I realized, oh my God. This kid was scared out of his mind. And here this big man is telling him to do something that he can't do. And I had no pity, no remorse, no wait, because we were in a hurry. We had to go somewhere. You know what made me a better Christian? Because I failed him. I failed him, and I failed myself, and I failed God. But you know what? I said after that, I won't do it again. God, I won't do that again. I won't fail that test again. Amen? I don't like being so transparent. Y'all look at me, oh, man. But praise God, if it helps you, I'll do it. I'll just be honest with you. But that's where you learn. When you fall flat on your face and do everything wrong, it's when you learn. You'll learn from that point. This is what Peter was doing. He was being sifted. And he learns, you know, later on, I think it's 2 Peter 5 and 8, he says, you know, the devil is a roaring lion going to and fro seeking whom he may devour. He wrote that because of this. Amen? He wrote that. He said, when you be sifted, I prayed for you, and when you've been sifted, then you can help the brethren. 2 Peter 5 and 8, the devil is a roaring lion. He said, I know, and he will sift you. Amen? You think that you can handle him, he's a roaring lion. He'll rip you to pieces. Amen? Be careful. Be wise. Amen? That's good, right? All right, so let's move on. We're still learning. Verse 34, Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me 3 times. Ain't that, man, that's brutal, ain't it? Have you ever made some declarations, some hardcore declarations to God, and you say you wasn't going to slip up, you won't mess up, and you don't even get through the night? And before he does it 3 times, before the rooster crows, you're going to mess this up before the night's out. No way! Now, there's something in this I've never seen before, and that's why I kind of wanted to go here too. Check this out in verse 35. Peter said to him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Right? We all have heard that before. But listen to this last part. Likewise said all the disciples.
Oh,
we let them off the hook for like 2,000 years. I've really never paid attention to the rest of the disciples saying the same thing, did we? Peter gets the bigger part because he's like, I'll go to the death. And we know that he denied, but the rest of them were right there singing in chorus. Oh, yes, we will go. Amen. They were just singing back up. They weren't as bold as Peter, but guess what? Nonetheless, they wrestled with, we're going. But what happened? They took off. John Mark was out there so bad, he runs straight out of his clothes. I hope God. Don't y'all wish heaven's got DVD where we can watch this stuff? Now then I don't want to see my mess ups on high definition, but I wouldn't mind watching some of theirs. Amen. I hear people all the time. I grew up in a church. I had a church. You know, everybody want to take you to church when you're a kid. And I run into deacons and elders and I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm gonna speak to Adam. Adam ate an apple, dude. Never. Donnie, could you imagine? Walk up to you, hey buddy, you ruined us. Adam, you ate that apple. He goes, come here. Let me tell you what I seen you do. Never mind, Adam. It's good. It was good. It was, there was one Saturday night in your 20s I really want to talk to you about then. Never mind. Some of y'all were like, Ain't that neat though? I mean, we're big on, man, I like to talk. What were they thinking? What was Peter thinking? He's met Jesus. He's going to deny him. Yeah, what was he? What were we thinking? I've made some big, bold promises to God only to see some of them fail pretty quick. It's good, right? It's good. It's in there. Verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane and saith to the disciples, sit you here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, man, that's heavy. I felt the Holy Spirit of God up there. Can you, he says, he went a little further. And that's a whole other message. So some of y'all want to take, and you know, some of you Bible teacher, preacher types, just you could do a whole message called, he went a little further. He went a little further than we would go. So I gave you the title and the message there. You just chase it down. But that hit me. That hit y'all when I read it. And he went a little further. I mean, he took some of the apostles and disciples and servants. Then he took the inner circle. And he went a little further. For us, he goes further, right? Man, some of y'all need to take that and just wear it out. Amen? That's good. Sit you here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him, all right, verse 30, let's go down to 38 again. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. This cup, I want to, the thing that we want to get into tonight, so let's go to over to Psalm 75:8. I might not make you run all of them down, but there's some really good ones. 75:8. I hear pages turning, so I'll give you a minute. Psalm 75:8. We're going to talk about this cup. This is not my cup. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is a full of mixture, and he poureth out the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Amen? And the dregs are the wrath of God. Let's go over to Psalm 73 and verse 10. And I'll give you the other verses if you want them. Psalm 73:10 reads, therefore his people return hither, and the waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. Go back to the original text, Matthew 26. There's some other verses in here. Jeremiah 49, 12, Jeremiah 25, 15 through 17, Revelation 16 and 19, Revelations 18 and 6. So you can go back on the website and listen to this, or you can get those from me after the service as well. But the cup in the Old Testament and even the New Testament, when he referred to the cup that's in the Lord's hand, is a cup of it's a cup of life. All right, I'll use this cup as an illustration. It's a cup of a full life. Okay, a lot of times, and it's a mixture. Okay, your life's a mixture of stuff, good and bad. Is that right? Yeah, amen, brother. That's true. Our lives. And a lot of times, like if you mix coffee or Kool-Aid or anything else, and you filled that up and you mixed it up real good, and there was some real bitter or strong dregs of it, it would drop down to the bottom. But most of the middle would be good, and while you're drinking it, you would taste the sweet or the whatever you're trying to get out of the taste of it would be good to you. And every once in a while, in the taste, you'll run into some really great stuff, some really good stuff. That's what most of our lives are about. And then sometimes we'll take a drink of something that's hard. Amen? And it will rock our world. But that's in the mix of the cup of life. Okay? And that's what God talks about all the way through this. But at the very bottom of this cup is the dregs. And that's the wrath of God. All right? He said that's the wrath of God. And he always referred, if you're going to drink the dregs of this, that means you've got to a place where you've rejected God so much that the children of God of Israel, us in our sin, that you would have to drink the dregs. You would have to drink the judgment or the wrath of God. Okay? Y'all understanding that? And that cup does remain for everybody who doesn't accept Jesus Christ. You have to drink the wrath of God up to the point where you accept Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? But it's not His. That's our cup. We all deserve that cup. We all deserve to drink the wrath of God towards our sin. Amen? Y'all good? Make sense to you? Well, see, where Jesus was in the garden, He said, "Father, let this cup pass from me." God let Him look square at the dregs of the cup. He handed Him, just like this is Melissa's cup, He handed Him yours and mine. He handed the cup to Him and said, "You're going to have to drink the dregs or the punishment for sin for the whole world. This is not your cup, but it's yours to drink if you're going to be obedient to the cross." What did He say? In his prayer, He said, "Father, if you can let this cup pass, let it pass. But if not, Your will be done." He's 100% God. He's 100% man. His man praying is saying, "Let it pass if it can pass. But God, I'll be obedient to You. I'll drink it." Man, that's a big deal, ain't it? That's a big deal, because guess what? He don't have to. He's an obedient son. We see all the way back in the Old Testament when Abraham took Isaac up on Mount Moriah. He had a father, but he had an obedient son. Amen? Y'all remember that? He had an obedient son. The son said, "I'll go, Father. Where is the sacrifice?" God will provide Himself sacrifice. That's a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. One day, there's going to be a son who will be crucified by his father. Amen? Who will drink the dregs. Who will go through the punishment. All right? So here he's standing in that garden. And here's the whole reason for this message tonight. This is the whole reason. I heard this about a week ago. There was a question. What does Jesus have to gain by drinking the cup? And this is the whole reason I preach this message tonight. I said, what? What was Jesus' gain by drinking the cup? Would he be considered a good son? Would he get that honor? He already had it. "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." Would he be an obedient son? He already had it. Not your will. Not my will, but Your Father. Amen? He could be the king. He's already the king. Amen? He could be a savior. He's already the savior. So why he's looking into this cup, and he said, what do I have to gain by drinking this? There's only one thing. A you. That's the only thing Jesus didn't have was a you. And that's the only thing that's going to be changed by drinking your cup is that you can go into heaven. There's nothing else he gains that day, that time in the garden by saying, God, your will, not mine. I'll drink the cup. And him drinking it, praise God, there's only one thing he gains, and that's you. When he got in that garden and looked at the cup, he seen you. He seen you. He seen you. He seen you. And he says, you know what? They're enough to drink the cup for and bear their sins for, where I can gain them as my children. And you know what he did? Drank it. Every bit. Turned it over. And he set it down. He said, it's finished. Woo! The cup. And that's where the cup stands today. And you can accept what he did at Calvary when he drank your cup. Turned it over and slammed it down. And said, you don't have to drink it if you don't want to. Ain't that cool for us tonight? Ain't that amazing for us tonight? That Jesus drank the cup that we don't have to drink. If you all stand. Scott, just come play something softly on the guitar, if you would. If anybody wants to come and pray, talk to the Lord.